Would you turn, please, in God's Word to the book of Acts, chapter 26. We're breaking into this chapter at a part where a man called Festus, who is the governor of the region where Paul is now a prisoner, Caesarea, and Paul is in the midst of conducting his defense. There's an unofficial but yet a very important hearing, because King Agrippa wants to hear about this apostle and he wants to hear from him. And Paul has been conducting his defense, and as we'll see in a short while what else he was doing. And in the course of his speaking, we read in verse 24 about Festus. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. This thing being the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. We'll end our reading at that verse. And Lord, we end it with the prayer that thou will bless the public reading of thy word to us for Christ's sake. Amen. I want you to think with me tonight on the words recorded in verses 27 and 28 of Acts chapter 26. These are the words. Verse 28 and 29 rather. These are the words. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. These two men, the Apostle Paul and the King Agrippa, are brought together, and their utterances brought together in the most striking of circumstances. Paul was a prisoner in the custody of the Roman procurator Festus. He was a prisoner because of the hostility of the Jews to Paul personally, and more importantly, to the doctrine he was preaching, the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom he believed to be the fulfillment of all the Old Testament scriptures, the Messiah, that many people among the Jews and Gentiles also believed, but the Jewish establishment did not want to know. So Paul was haled before their courts, and in order to save his life, because he was a Roman citizen, the Roman centurion got word of a plot that was being hatched to kill him, and got him transferred from Jerusalem to Caesarea. And soon after this, with Festus dragging his heels with regard to getting Paul released, King Agrippa came to visit this Roman procurator Festus. And Festus was not very happy with what was happening, because Paul, when he was conducting his defense before Festus, Festus realized the man was innocent. And Paul said, well, I want to appeal to Caesar. And that scared Festus. And Festus realized, what am I going to do? The crime, as far as the Romans is concerned, is petty. It's a matter of the Jewish religion. It doesn't really concern us at all. How am I going to send this man away to Rome? What crime has he committed? And he realized he was in a fix. And then Agrippa came down with his consort Bernice. And he told Agrippa about Paul. And Paul says, Agrippa says, this is a very interesting character. I would like to hear him for myself. And that's where chapter 26 starts, where Paul is now standing in this crowded hall. A great hall. King Agrippa is there. Bernice is there. Festus is there. A number of the Roman tribunes are there. And the great men of Caesarea are there. And there's a large crowd. And Agrippa says, Paul, you're free to speak for yourself. And Paul held out his hand in his chains and acknowledged what was being presented to him, and he proceeded to go into his account. And whenever he had reached a certain part of it, we broke in at the reading. Festus was listening to him and said, Paul, you're beside yourself. You're mad. Much learning hath made thee mad. And Paul very calmly replied to him and said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things. Agrippa knows these things. He knows what I'm talking about. I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. And then suddenly he turns to Agrippa and says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? And before he could answer, he says, I know that thou believest. And as soon as he said that, Agrippa shouted out, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. It was electrifying. Now commentators and scholars and expositors are divided in their opinion what exactly Agrippa meant when he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But even though there is that division, it will all amount to the same thing by the time these proceedings are over. And I want us to look at this tonight. I want you to look at it under two main divisions. First of all, the declaration of King Agrippa. And then secondly, in verse 29, the desire of the Apostle Paul. Notice the declaration of King Agrippa. He says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Some think he meant, in such a short time, you'll have me converted. Others think that what he was saying was, almost persuadest thou me to become a Christian. We just don't know the exact sense. But as I've said earlier, it will amount to the same thing by the time that we come to a close. Now, there are three things I want you to notice about this declaration of Agrippa's. The first one is the matter with which it is concerned. What is the matter? The matter is being a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What is a Christian? A Christian, first of all, is one who believes in the existence of the Lord Jesus Christ and who's alive forevermore. This was the big issue. The Jews did not want it to be known that the Lord Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. They deemed him to be an impostor. And whenever they heard that Paul and Peter and others were preaching that Christ had risen from the dead, they didn't like it one bit. They were scared. But a Christian is one who believes in the existence of Christ, that Christ was crucified and was dead and rose again. He believes also that not only did the Lord Jesus Christ exist and rise from the dead, but that he made great claims for himself, that he is God. He said on one occasion, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ, on seven specific occasions, prefaced great claims about himself with these words, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life.
I am the light of the world. And that's how God revealed himself at the burning bush to Moses. Say that I am hath sent me unto you. It's a very special name for God. They didn't like it. A Christian is one who believes the claims that Christ made, that he is Almighty God, and that he is the Savior of sinners. And in order to be the Savior of sinners, he had to go to the cross at Calvary. He had to lay down his life as a ransom by the shedding of his blood, by offering himself a sacrifice for our sins. He died. He rose again. He's alive forevermore. And this message is preached in all the world. This is what Paul was doing. And a Christian is one who believes all of that. And as a result of that, he puts his trust in that Christ.
But a believer is something more. A Christian is something more. Not only is he a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dedicated and committed. And Agrippa knew that. And he says, Paul, he's the one that raised the word Christian, by the way. The word Christian is only mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. This is one of them. And he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Whatever sense he meant it, he believed in what a Christian was. He knew the difference. And ladies and gentlemen, I think that you know the difference as well. You know what a Christian is. A Christian is not a mere churchgoer. A Christian is not a person who does good merely. A Christian is not a person who has been baptized and confirmed. A Christian is one who is rightly related to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian? Don't think that because you're religious, you're a Christian. Not so. A Christian is a believer in the Lord Jesus. Believes that he's God, believes that he's man, believes that he's Savior, believes that he has made atonement for his sins, and as a result has committed his life to Christ and has received him by faith into his heart and life. But there's a second thing about this declaration. Not only the matter with which it was concerned, but the means by which it came, or by which it was caused. Why did he suddenly shout out, in the midst of that crowded assembly, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian? What caused that? It was Paul speaking and giving his defense that caused it. In fact, what the Apostle Paul was doing really was giving his testimony. Paul gave his testimony on a number of occasions in the Bible. Now, starting at verse 9 and coming away on down this chapter, you will notice quite a number of things about Paul. First of all, he talked about his past conduct in verses 9 to 11. He said that he was persecuting Christians everywhere. He had no notion of being a Christian. And then in verses 12 to 15, he tells about his conversion, how he became a Christian. What a story that is, where the Lord Jesus arrested him as he was going down the Damascus road, apprehended him, and Paul's life was never the same again. In the third place, he talked about the commission that he was given in verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. And the Lord went on to tell him that he would stand before kings and Gentiles. And then in verses 16 to 18, we have the commission, and in verses 19 to 20, we have his confession. He's talking now directly to Agrippa, and he says, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and show works meet for repentance. Agrippa, you're asking me to conduct my defense. You're telling me to speak freely for myself. This is what I've been doing. This is how far that I've come. I was converted. I was a Christian persecutor. God gave me a commission. I'm confessing to you that I was not disobedient to what God gave me to do. Then he made a claim. Notice verse 21. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. That's why I'm here before you now. I'm preaching the word of God that they have rejected.
And then he mentions in the sixth place, his continuance. Notice verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Agrippa, I'm continuing in what I've been doing, what God gave me to do those years ago, and that's why I'm before you today. The Jews have rejected that message. And then he comes to the climax in verse 23, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. What a man. What an opportunity. He was very logical in his presentation. He talked about his conduct. He talked about his conversion. He talked about his commission. He talked about his confession. He talked about his claim. He talked about his continuance. And now he's coming to a climax. And he says, I've been preaching that Christ should suffer. By that he means his death, his atoning death. And that he would rise again. And as soon as he came to that grand climax, that's when Festus rudely interrupted him. For whatever reason, we don't know. Maybe Paul was concentrating too much on Agrippa. But Festus says, Paul, you're mad. All of this learning has done this to you. And Paul, standing there in his chain, says, I'm not mad, most noble Festus. By the way, he treated the man courteously. Wasn't rude. Didn't lose his temper. Says, I'm not mad. But he says, I'm speaking forth words of truth and soberness. And then he turns to the king. And here's the challenge. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou? And at that, the king burst out. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. The means by which it was caused. Ladies and gentlemen, have you come to the place in the history of your life? Be honest with me now. You sit in this room tonight. You're listening to the Word of God. You've come to the place that you know the truth of the gospel. You have no doubts. You accept it. Yes, the Lord Jesus is the only Savior. The Bible is true from cover to cover. God has loved me and provided a great Savior for me in the Lord Jesus and a great salvation in the work that He has done. Do you believe it? Hasn't been done in a corner. It's been preached for 2,000 years. What's your response? Is it almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian? The matter with which this declaration was concerned, the Christian, the means by which it was caused, Paul's testimony. And then thirdly, the marks with which it came. There were two big marks in this declaration of Agrippa's. First of all, there's the mark of hopefulness. Think of what he said. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He believed in such a thing as Christianity. He knew what a Christian was. Paul says, I know that you believe. In fact, Paul is saying more. Paul is saying, Agrippa, I know that you're familiar with all the laws of and customs of the Jews. He says, I believe more than that, that you know what these teachings of the Old Testament were concerning the Messiah. And Agrippa says, almost. I persuadest me to be a Christian. And that's hopeful, my dear friend. Hopeful in that he had seen the truth of the Messiah's person and work. Hopeful in that he seen that he needed to avail himself of it. Hopeful in the sense that there's urgency here. Why else would he cry out in that open court? He's the man that's trying the prisoner. And now the situation seems to be reversed as if it were Paul trying him. It's hopeful. Is it hopeful with you tonight, I ask? You're on the verge, perhaps, of becoming a child of God. There's another mark. It's the mark of apprehensiveness. For this reason, he was only almost. That's as far as he went. And while there's hope there, there's also danger. Could Judas Iscariot ever have come closer to being a child of God? After all, he was a companion of the Lord Jesus Christ for over 3 years, and on one occasion kissed him. It was the traitor's kiss, but he was so close. The Lord Jesus says, "I am the door." Judas Iscariot was at that door for 3 years and more. He went to hell. We read of a man in the Old Testament called Abner, a man who had many fine qualities, but he let his guard down. He forgot that he was a condemned man in the eyes of David's general Joab. And standing there in the doorway of the city of refuge of Hebron, where if he had stepped inside he would have been safe, he was so near to being safe. He was almost, but he lost his life because Joab put the weapon into his side. And he fell down in a heap dead, so near to refuge and security. And I'm wondering tonight, concerning those in this room, you're almost persuaded to become a child of God. You talk about it, you think about it, it's in your mind day by day. Come to meetings like this, you're not far away from trusting Christ. But you're only almost. It's dangerous. Dangerous. I've told you before, for the benefit of the visitors here, let me say, the great big ship called the Royal Charter had circumnavigated the globe. It was coming back to dock in Liverpool, to North Wales. The ship went to pieces. The first officer of the ship had his wife waiting for him in Liverpool. Lovely meal prepared. A minister was called upon to go to the house to break the news. And whenever he told her the awful news and held her hand to steady her, this is what she said. He was so near home and yet lost. How true is that of multitudes spiritually? So near to being saved, so near to being a Christian, but are lost and bound for hell. Could that be true of you? That you look back in eternity and remember this night when you were convinced that you should get saved, but you step back and you remember this night. I was almost converted to Christ, but now I'm damned in hell. The declaration of King Agrippa. And then notice lastly, the desire of the Apostle Paul. Look at Paul's response to the statement. Verse 29. And Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." Notice first of all about this desire, how earnestly it was expressed. Look at Paul in the chains. He had been giving his testimony how things had come to the present condition that he stood before this king and was conducting his defense and heard Agrippa shout out in the court, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul very quickly replied. He says, "I would to God, I desire of God that you would not only be almost persuaded, but altogether as I am." That's what he's saying. "It's my prayer for you, Your Majesty. I have great feeling for you, great intensity of feeling." Now, Agrippa's lifestyle did not give any indication that he was thinking of becoming a Christian. And maybe your lifestyle has not lent itself to the idea either that you're interested. But somehow or another, God's word tonight is getting into you. You're concerned. Paul very earnestly expressed a desire. And I know that I speak on behalf of a number of people here. I know that because they pray for you regularly. They plan meetings like this for your benefit regularly. We long that you'll become a Christian. Not almost, but altogether. this is what he said. Not only how earnestly it was expressed, but you will notice that he wanted this man, Agrippa, along with others, to become a Christian. So that shows us how comprehensively his desire was directed. Oh yes, it was for Agrippa, but notice what he said in the words. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am. Paul had a big net. He often painted on a wide canvas. And the mark of the true soul winner is, he longs for multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of people to be saved. He's not content if there's one or two, although he thanks God for it and rejoices in it, but he longs for more. And Paul saw that august assembly that day in all their pomp. Oh, my dear friend, notice the type of people that were there. Notice chapter 25 and verse 23. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing, with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. So Paul says, all of you, not only Agrippa, but all of you. And I'm not only addressing myself to people here tonight that are almost persuaded, but those of you who have come into the service with no notion of being saved, I'm addressing myself to you tonight. I long for you to become a child of God and trust the Lord Jesus, to be altogether persuaded to become a Christian. How earnestly this desire was expressed, how comprehensively it was directed, and then notice lastly how sincerely it was felt. Notice his words again. Verse 29. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. He says, I want you to be the same as me. And then he looked at the bonds. He says, I'm not including these. I don't want you to be prisoners like this. But he says, I want you to be as what I am, in the transformation that I have experienced in my life. That's what happens when you become a Christian. There's a change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. What a change. What a wonderful change, the hymn writer wrote, has come into my life since Jesus came into my heart. And it's true. He said he wanted him to be transformed and all of the others to be transformed like he was. He wanted them to have the joy that he had. He wanted them to have the security and safety that he was enjoying. He wanted them to have the peace with God that he was enjoying in his conscience and mind. He wanted them to have the assurance of salvation that he had. That was his desire. Ladies and gentlemen, you who are outside of Christ, it is our desire for you tonight that you would become a Christian. And with that, those solemn proceedings came to a sudden end. Notice verse 30. And when he had thus spoken, he never got developing, no doubt, what he wanted to develop, knowing Paul, as I do from the Word of God. Paul loved to develop his theme, but he wasn't permitted. Notice what happened in verse 30. When he had thus spoken, the king rose up. Now, the Holy Spirit is very meticulous here. He could have said the whole lot of them rose up and went out, but he didn't. He enumerated them. The king rose up. That King Agrippa, who was familiar with the gospel of the Lord Jesus and knew that Paul was telling the truth, he rose up. He didn't respond to the gospel. Then the governor rose up, Festus, the man who was to blame for not setting Paul at liberty when he knew that he should have. And Bernice rose up. Bernice was the sister of Agrippa. Bernice was a young lady, the historians say, that was a shameful woman. And they all suggest, without making the accusation,
that she was living in an incestuous relationship with her brother here. And they that sat with them, those that we noticed in the previous chapter, the tribunes and the chief men of the city, the Holy Spirit says they all rose up. And they went out. And the apostle was hurriedly taken away. His witness for Christ remaining in the ears of the people. We do not know for sure what the response was. But we know that the prisoner was brought back into custody with peace in his mind, joy in his heart, that he had been enabled to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and fulfill the commission that he was given years ago when Paul was set aside by God on that Damascus road to be a witness to kings and Gentiles. We don't know about them. But ladies and gentlemen, we can know about you. What will you do? Will you take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight? Would you take him now?